So you know how I love my musical apparatus for our chats, Norman?
Yes.
I've got my Med Diet Bell here on the desk with me today. I forgot to bring my harmonica and my xylophone because I'm an idiot, but I did bring an extra new friend. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, I think I do. You're a rude wee girl.
It's a whoopee cushion. We bought it especially for this particular episode of What's That Rash?
Where we answer the health questions everybody's got. And this time we were farting in front of a live audience.
That's right. This chat comes from our recent live show at World Science Festival Brisbane. So this question came from John, who the question itself was read out by a lovely audience member at our live show.
I am moved to ask a question of my own. We are urged to eat lots of fibre to nourish the gut microbiome. Is flatulence a sign that the gut biome is well fed and happy? And will a happy gut biome really improve one's cognitive function?
John, you've asked that question so well. I'm going to give you a round of applause.
But can we have the microphone back for a second? Why don't you just call flatulence for what it really is?
Okay. A fart?
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. Because I wasn't sure what you were talking about, to be honest.
So on that, do you know, it's a little bit like, you know how we call cow meat beef and that pig meat pork and that sort of thing. And I don't know if anyone's heard this story before. It's the reason we would do this is because after the Norman Conquest, it was sort of fancier to speak in French. So around the table, you would say the French word for cow, which was like boeuf, which became beef, or you would say the fancy word for pig, which was like porcine. And so in a similar way, the word fart comes from Old English and Old German. The word was fjorten. Which meant to fart. It was probably an onomatopoeia.
Right.
Whereas flatulent comes from the Latin flatulentus, which comes from a root meaning to blow. And we're going to blow hard today, Norman.
We are. We're going to furten a lot.
Furten. What is a fart?
A fart is the expulsion of gas from your anus. And it's basically the excess gas from the bugs in your bowel. So you eat all this food, it gets absorbed in the small intestine, and then it goes into the large bowel, into the colon, and the bacteria in your bowel chew it up, and the bacteria produce gas. They produce hydrogen, they produce methane, they produce carbon dioxide.
Okay, so... And hydrogen, which we'll come to later. There's actually quite a lot of research into farting. We'll get into some of it soon. But I did really enjoy this particular study that was done in 1998, where there was a US scientist called Michael Levitt, and he used rectal tubes for a detailed study of fart compositions in 6 healthy women and 10 healthy men.
Big study.
Big study. Would you like to know a rough volume of gas that was emitted from these people's between 106 mils on the lower end up to 1,600 mils, a litre and a half of air? The biggest farter produced over half a litre of hydrogen, which I think could be some sort of renewable energy source. The thing that really caught my attention, though, is that the smelly components of the fart were quite small. So together, hydrogen sulfide, methane ethyol, which smells like rotten cabbage, and the garlic light dimethyl sulfide, on average, were just 50 parts per million of each fart.
And only a third of them were really stenchy farters, weren't they?
Stenchy farters. I think
smelly
that you are
farting.
Foreshadowing research that we will get to. But before we get to legitimate research, I have to introduce you to the Invisible College of Experimental Flatology, which is a website that exists. When I first saw flatology, I was like, oh, is this some sort of flat earth society? No, it's the ology, the study of flatulence. And they've done some... Well, look, I don't know if the research is real. I don't really care. The charts are... The fart charts are amazing. Let's look at one, please. This... If you have very quickly decoded this chart, I'm very, very impressed. But basically, for those who haven't and for those who are listening without the benefit of visuals, what you're looking at here is the rate of farts at a dinner party, and you'll notice that there's a particular peak at the time of the evening where the ladies leave the table. They looked at the air quality during this time. So that's a little bit of a data point that you can drop around the dinner table, so to speak. So part of the question from John, who had such a beautiful voice, was about the microbiome. So we've talked a bit about what farts are, and I am very intentionally using the Germanic root here.
We're
not fancy. We're among friends. What about the microbiome? What about the microbiome?
In the microbiome, we have millions and trillions of organisms. We tend to think of bacteria, but there's bacteria, there's viruses, there's fungi. And then there's these really weird ancient organisms called archaea, which we don't really know too much about, but they're in there as well. So really, going back probably millions of years, we've got these bugs in our bowel, if you can call them bugs. And so there's this plethora, but it seems to be bacteria, because they're more advanced in terms of their metabolism, that produce the gases. And our microbiome is affected by what we eat, coming back to the question.
What we eat. Feels like we could take that a step further and have a reason to use some sort of...
Yeah, well, it could be that the diet that is lots of vegetables, legumes. What would we call that diet?
I think we would call it the...
Mediterranean diet.
I feel like I'm driving through a grove of bellbirds. It's beautiful.
So, yeah, it depends on what bacteria you've got and what they're eating, and they produce more gas when you're actually eating a healthier diet.
Also, more gas is potentially a sign of a healthier diet.
There's obviously a limit to it if you're producing a huge amount.
So more than 1,600 milliliters in a four-hour period.
So it's hard to measure. But there are diseases like Crohn's disease. There's an operation called fundoplication, which is to prevent reflux. And for some reason, a side effect of that operation is producing more gas. They don't understand why. Probably because it changes the microbiome. But essentially, a healthy diet will produce more gas.
Okay, so we've got gas
production. So Blazing Saddles is right.
Okay, you just said before that you don't really know what's good, like normal, that some things can make you... If you're unhealthy in different ways, that can produce more gas than less gas. What do we know about how many farts a day is normal?
Well, we've got the CSIRO to thank for this, who provided Watch That Rash with exclusive farting data.
Farter
data from Australians.
This is the chart you start study that...
Chart Your Fart app.
There's an app. And it's Dr. Brindle from CSIRO that we have to give credit to. And our thanks for letting us bring you this What's That Rash
updated,
live show exclusive.
Updated data. And you're all sitting on the edge of your seats with one cheek up. 19,000 people downloaded the app, and it recorded 471,000 farts. They had to, because they're CSIRO and they're good scientists, they had to exclude, so they wanted a reasonable sample of farts. And so they excluded everybody who recorded less than 3 days, so it had to be more than 3 days. The average was about 10 days of farts, and they ended up with 6,000 people with 360,000 farts. So not bad data. So here's the question. Who produced more farts, men or women? Go on. Acclamation.
Women.
Women, do you agree with that? No?
No, yes.
Men?
Well, I think we need a show of hands. Who reckons men produced more farts? Who reckons... I notice all the women have their hands up. Who thinks that women produced more farts? All the men have their hands up. Interesting.
So for the sort of middle group of farts, that's 2 to 7 farts a day... That was equal between men and women. But when they looked at the group that were producing 9 or more farts a day...
Super farters.
Women.
Maybe they were more diligent in recording their data.
Yeah, well, that's true. They could have been biased there. So which age group would you say, if I were to say, young people, middle age, older people...
Old farts.
So does the old fart thing hold true? Clearly this room thinks so.
What did the data say?
31 to 35-year-olds. God knows what they're doing. And I'm impressed they're eating a Mediterranean diet. So here's the question. Which state in Australia had the smelliest, most lingering farts?
This is an actual data point. If someone can answer this correctly, let's give them a magnet. Yell out the state you think.
Tasmania?
Someone said NT, someone said Queensland. No one has said the correct answer yet. No? Not ACT? Did anyone say Western Australia?
One person said Western Australia.
Western Australia. They reported farts of higher stench and linger.
Yeah.
I would have thought with a state that size, you would be able to get away from a smelly fart.
And the time of day that you mostly fart? Well, it's sort of morning, mid-morning, and after dinner at night. Pretty much reflecting our institute data.
Yeah, like an M-shaped
there. So
curve.
Really valuable data there on...
Flatology. What I want to know then, Norman, now, given that we're normalising farting, we get a sense of the Australians...
The room's feeling a bit.
What happens if it's not the right time and you just need to hold it in? Is that bad for you, asking for a friend?
So here's what happens when you hold it in. The gas has got to go somewhere because they continue to produce the gas. And what happens is your bowel absorbs the gas. It goes round in your bloodstream to your lungs and then you burp it out.
Did you actually burp just then?
I was trying to, but anyway. Did you smell it?
I heard it.
Yeah, eventually gets out and comes out via the other end of your intestinal tract, your mouth.
Incredible. Well, like I said before, there's some small amounts of compounds in your farts that make them smelly, highest stench and linger from WA, as we previously discussed. But one of the most abundant gases in a fart is hydrogen, and it has a really important role to play.
It does. So it's not just being able to light your fart.
As a doctor,
yes.
Would you recommend someone trying to...
Probably not.
Probably not.
And is it partly myth? I don't know. You have to know you were a big hydrogen farter. So hydrogen is actually quite important because the bugs in your bowel use the hydrogen as part of their metabolic processes. So hydrogen gets recycled in your bowel. So it's quite important that you produce hydrogen. And contrary to the study you just quoted from Pennsylvania, they reckon it's about a litre of hydrogen that we can produce a day. But it does get recycled. So you're not farting blue flame the whole time.
So to come back to John's question, John wants to know if flatulence is a sign that the biome is well fed, and will a happy gut biome help one's cognitive function? We haven't talked about cognitive function at all.
No.
Because we've been talking too much about the more important topic of farting.
Yeah.
But to come back to John's question, what's our answer?
Our answer is yes, it can, but not through farting. So a healthy microbiome, which is a very diverse microbiome, and the diet that we've been talking about...
Yep. You guys
produces
quicker
a very healthy, diverse microbiome, and that produces a lot of different bioactive compounds, including what are called short-chain fatty acids. And these do go to the brain, and they settle down inflammation and oxidative stress. But also there's this complicated communication between the bowel and the brain using the nervous system and indeed the immune system. So there's a lot of crosstalk between the bowel and the brain, as you might imagine, since the brain needs the bowel to survive. We need the bowel to survive. So it's a very complex interrelationship. But it turns out that a healthy diet does improve your cognitive function. And the diet that really does this is called the mind... No, careful, careful. We need another sound. It's called the mind diet.
The what?
M-I-N-D diet. And this diet is known to protect the brain. And it tends to be a bit like the Mediterranean diet. But there's a bias towards fermented foods and berries, particularly blueberries and strawberries.
So the other words, the rich people diet. Well, thank you, John, for the question. One final piece of data before we go off this, which is all about acoustics. If you look at the screen, you'll see a mathematical formula that shows us that simultaneous farts can sound like one single fart. And this is how you would calculate this. And to prove the point, I think if anyone here feels like they know how to make a... I would love to hear them all at once, please. One, two, three. Oh, come.
Come
okay.
On.
Do this one then. Do one of those. One, two, three.
And I suppose one of the other takeaways from this is that excessive flatulence can be a sign of problems in your bowel. One is irritable bowel syndrome, and there's not a lot you can do about that, but it's worth knowing whether or not you have it. And the other is celiac disease, where you are truly gluten intolerant, and that might be a sign that you want to get checked for that, which is a specific set of investigations, because you don't want to have celiac disease and not know it.
Absolutely. It just goes to show that we can't be as comprehensive as we would always like to be on What's That Rash. There's always more to learn. And we love it when we get your emails as well. Our email address is thatrash@abc.net.au. And we've had an email about our recent episode on progressive exercise, Norman, from a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Ryan says, I don't go to a gym. I'm too shy for a public squat.
Yes, we were going back to the fart episode here. Okay.
But Ryan says, so rather than spend a fortune on more weights, I'll just push on with my efforts, but with more time and reps. And thanks for the earlier episode regarding what time to exercise. I'm a 10 p.m. lounge to myself type of exerciser. So between both episodes, you've helped with my motivation and my back pain.
Oh, that's good.
That's lovely. Thanks you so much, Ryan. Love thinking of you squatting in your lounge at 10 p.m. Love
that. As long as it's exercise. Apologies for thought.
And some correspondence, Norman, from our other live show that was in the feed a few weeks ago on left-handedness versus right-handedness. Paul says, I'm a lefty. Shout out, Paul, so am I. But it's a lot more complicated than people generally think. Most tools, hammers, saws, etc., I use left-handed. I can only write left-handed, so I am left eye dominant, that I can only shoot whether guns or arrows left-handed. And in fact, my right eye can't even process what it sees down a scope if forced to use a right-handed rifle. But Paul continues, I play left-handed at tennis, right-handed at cricket, and as far as I'm concerned, it's the same grip on the bat and racket. Now I'm standing here in the studio, Norman, trying to arrange my hands around a bat and a racket. Paul is very multi-talented, naturally fences left-handed, but can only throw a ball right-handed. My left hand is useless for this.
Paul, I hope you've got well-controlled aggression here with your swords and your guns, but, you know, carry on.
Well, Paul has also been known to kick a rugby ball with his left foot, but plays soccer right-footed. I can only use scissors in my left hand, but eat steaks with the knife in my right hand, usually, sometimes not. Paul, you sound like a true Renaissance man, and I kind of like that you're mixing it up with your handedness along the way.
And I could have picked you as a red meat eater.
What is that meant to mean?
Just leave it there, I think. Okay.
And Gary, similar. Well, Gary doesn't mention quite as many extracurriculars as Paul, but Gary says, I'm right-hand dominant, but I kick a football with my left foot. Always have, and changing has been something best not discussed in public. Well, Gary, now I just have so many more questions.
Gary, you can write us a letter with a different name and we'll quote it.
And of course, if you do write that letter, the email address is thatrash@abc.net.au.
We'll see you next week.
See you then.